Good morning, church family. I'm glad to be with you today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our scriptures today come from Isaiah and John. In Isaiah, it's a peek into God's plans for us. For he seems to be speaking at first to the Messiah, telling him what he expects of him. And then he gives a warning through Isaiah to all of us. In John, the John scripture comes right after Jesus tells his disciples that he is about to be betrayed and that he would be going away. And in this scripture, he reassures the disciples, as us, that there is a place for us in God's family and in heaven. So please listen to the scriptures and find that message that's just for you. Beginning with Isaiah 42, 5 through 9. This is what the Lord says. The creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all the springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk in it. I, the Lord, have called you to righteousness. I will hold your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open the eyes of the blind, to free the captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. This is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or praise to idols. See the former things that have taken place, and the new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. And from John 14, 1 through 8. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe in also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would not have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back, and I will take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Lord except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. For now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that we may be enough for us. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Amen. Greetings to you, my friends, in the name of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, on behalf of Pittsburgh Presbytery and the Crestfield Camp and Conference Center. And guess what? It's summer, and so the staff up at Crestfield is more than just 7 people that are there year-round. Now we have more than 20 young adults up there. 20 young adults that will be as counselors, as waterfront directors, as lifeguards, as Bible study leaders, as worship leaders, and day camp coordinators. We are getting ready for summer up there, and so camp starts on June 17th. That's a week away. And you know what? I think I came here last summer, right before camp started. So this is a habit that we're getting into, and I really like this habit. I'll have to tell Leonard to go away again soon, huh? I hope that you have your child or your grandchild registered for camp. This is my commercial plug here. Christian camping is wonderful, whether it's at Crestfield or at another camp. There are so many in this tri-state area. Christian camping provides your child or your grandchild with the opportunity to develop their leadership skills, the opportunity to develop their self and improve their self-esteem. And you know what? We get the Bible in there like 4 times a day at least, and they don't even know it. So it's a great thing for them to experience. Please consider summer camp for your child or grandchild. And you know, it is summer. And already, my sister and June and I have started our summer activities. We've gone to 3 ball games already. We went down to the Arts Festival last week. And you know what's on our plans also? To go to Kennywood. We want to go to Kennywood. I want to go and ride the antique cars, the Tunnel of Love, and even the Jackrabbit and the Racer roller coasters. I'm not one for the Trabant or the pirate ship. Do you know those? They swing like this, or they go round and round and round. Those rides may excite you, but all that swinging back and forth and turning around and around, that turning up side down gets me on my head. I just get all topsy-turvy. Lots of times, Jesus' parables are also like that for me. These stories swing me around and back and forth and turn everything topsy-turvy. Parables shake us up. Parables get us to use our imagination and to get us thinking outside the box. In fact, parables help us to stretch and grow in our faith. Our text today that we read responsively could be thought of a parable. John, in his gospel, used the I am stories as a form of a parable. I am the shepherd, as Bill read in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. And then in our responsive reading, I am the vine. This parable genre certainly causes us to use our imagination and to stretch and to grow and be topsy-turvy. As I studied this passage, its contents and its words, the language, like the parable form, turns me topsy-turvy. Jesus is saying in this vine parable that in order to go, we must remain. It sounds like that paradoxical language of being poor in order to be rich, having peace amid the chaos, and dying in order to live, remaining in order to go, topsy-turvy all over. Where is the safety of those Kennywood antique cars? In our passage today, Jesus is getting ready himself to go. The upper room experience has just occurred. Jesus has washed the feet of the disciples. He has broken the bread and blessed it. He poured the cup, and he gave thanks. He even told Peter that Peter was going to deny him 3 times. Jesus is getting ready to go, but the disciples will remain. And Christ knows that the disciples need to hear and understand how they are to remain once he goes. To help them understand this, he offers them a vivid picture. I am the vine, you are the branches, my Father is the gardener. I think Billy back there needs some help with her gardening. Maybe this all ties into that too, huh? These are powerful images to draw upon and to remember, so that the disciples can remain as they go. With this image, Jesus teaches us that we must remain connected to him as the living, fruit-bearing branch must remain attached to the vine. Separation from the vine results in a dry, withered branch that is easily tossed into the fire and burned. This is certainly topsy-turvy thinking from today's culture of ever-prominent individualism. Unlike usual practices of doing what each one of us wants to do, thinking of our own needs, we cannot go out there on our own and expect to survive, let alone bear fruit. When we do go out, we must remain connected to the vine. Remaining. John loves that word, remain, in this text. In the 8 verses that comprise the text, he uses remain 8 times. Frequently, the word is used as a command, not as an option to be exercised, but something that must be done, something that must be followed. Exegetical exam of the word, and here it comes in Greek. Are you ready? May you. Remains even more insightful. Remaining can have the definition of staying in the same place or physical location, such as remaining on the ship, staying on the boat. Yet remain can also have the definition of continuing, abiding. That's what we heard in the responsive reading. Remaining in connection with the triune God. We are not to remain on the ship. We are not to remain in the house. We are not to remain in this church building. We are to remain in Christ and stay connected with Him. Jesus does not leave to chance how we are to stay connected to Him. Oh no, this is not like an arcade game at Kennywood where only chance wins the prize. There is no chance involved here. Jesus gives us specific instructions on how we are to remain, how we are to stay connected to Him. In verse 7, we are instructed to ask. Ask our triune God. And asking comes through praying. God wants to hear from us. God wants us to talk with Him. A time of prayer is a time for us to talk, really talk to God and to ask. We need to provide the time to have this conversation so that we can remain in God. So I ask you, what is your prayer life like? Do you have daily time set aside to converse with God so that you can remain friends with God? Richard and Henry Blackaby, renowned Baptist theologians, tell us that more than any other single thing that we can do as Christians, it is our prayer life that determines our effectiveness. If we spend adequate time communing with God, the people we encounter during the day will notice the difference. When we give counsel to others, the wisdom of our words will reveal whether or not how we are being connected with the Spirit. When we take the risk of going and not staying, we will be driven on our knees in prayer. There will be times when we will come to the end of our own resources, that we will really be topsy-turvy. And in those times, we need to understand there is nothing more that we can do. Giving speeches won't fix the problem. Working or studying longer and harder will be futile. As Psalm 50, verse 15 tells us, there are simply some things that can only be achieved through prayer. Prayer helps us to remain connected and attached to that vine so that we are able to go out into the world as disciples of Christ. Some may think that prayer and remaining attached to the vine are merely for self-preservation, just so that we can stay alive and not be thrown into the fire and consumed like that dry, withered branch. Yes, prayer and remaining in Christ as the vine are needed for us to have life. But here's where it gets topsy-turvy all over again. The primary purpose of this remaining is not an individual one. It's not just so that we can exist individually and each one of us can preserve ourselves. Friends, we need to remain in the vine and be prayerful so that we can bear fruit by going out into the world. Sisters and brothers, I tell you that only by remaining connected to Christ, the vine through prayer, am I here before you this morning. 8 years ago, I used to be a member up at Hampton Church, and my pastor was Don Dawson. And 8 years ago, I went on a mission trip with my youngest son, who was then a freshman in high school. It was an international trip, a mission trip to Ensenada, Mexico. I went on the trip because my son was going. I was chair of the Christian Education Committee at my church. And because my pastor, Don Dawson, was always asking me to go on a trip. And I just thought, okay, I'll go, and then Don won't ask me anymore. But during this time of prayer on that trip, I realized that God was calling me to something more with my life. My vocation up to then had been a nurse, and I loved my job. But I realized that God was calling me to do something else. I came home from that trip, and in 8 weeks, with the help of June's son, John, or man as I call him, I started seminary. Oh my goodness! 8 years later, with much prayer and through the power of the Holy Spirit, God is now using me as a pastor. For the past 7 years, I have been called to be the executive director up at Crestfield, and I gotta tell you, prayer helps me immensely to remain in Christ. It gets me through caring for the physical, emotional, and spiritual health of 600 children in 7 weeks. Prayer helps me remain in Christ to help care for the physical, emotional, and spiritual health of 20 young adults that come to serve. Prayer helps me work with these campers and this staff who need to feel loved and safe and cared for in a topsy-turvy world of violence, of drugs, and of estrangement. Prayer keeps me connected to Christ as I try to do the work God has called me to do. Now, I confess to you, I am certainly not always successful at that caring. I am certainly not always successful at that praying. But here is the good news. When I fail, Jesus reaches down. Jesus reaches down and extends his hands and helps me to get up and go again. Together, my friends, we must prayerfully remain so that we all can go. The last words of Jesus before he starts this discourse of this I am the vine passage are, "Come now, let us leave." Jesus is taking us all somewhere. We are called to go somewhere. We may not know where that somewhere is. We may not know how we're going to get there. But we can be assured that it will be a topsy-turvy ride. It won't be safe like the antique cars at Kennywood. It will probably have more ups and downs than the Trevant or the roller coasters. Most likely, it will turn us upside down like the pirate ship or the Trevant. But you know what? It will be okay because Christ promises to remain in us. Christ is our vine. Beloved, in this topsy-turvy world, remain in Christ so that you can go and bear fruit. For as our text concludes, this is our Father's glory. Amen.